First reading comes from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 33. Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship is unknown. This I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of their places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Second reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 22. "Who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were saved through water, and baptism, which is prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for the good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels and authorities and powers made subject to him." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Our gospel reading this morning comes, as usual, from the NRSV translation. With just one small exception, I used a different translation to change the pronouns used to refer to the Holy Spirit to feminine pronouns. And I really wanted to give a whole lecture about the grammatical gender and the confusion that's caused when we translate the Bible into English. But my family assured me that was not nearly as interesting as I thought it was. So, instead, I will just say that translators have traditionally chosen to translate the Greek pronoun auto as he, him, when referring to the Holy Spirit, even though it's not a masculine pronoun and the Holy Spirit is not male. And if you'd like to know more, see me after worship, and we can geek out together. So, the gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees her nor knows her. You know her because she abides with you, and she will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. And in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. When I was in preschool, my church made the change from Holy Ghost to Holy Spirit around 1979, 1980, and it was a big deal. The grown-ups were worked up about this. And I didn't understand any of it. And honestly, the only reason I think I even remember it is it made such an impression on me that the grown-ups were arguing about ghosts in church. And I'm pretty sure that is the last time I heard any group of Lutherans worked up about the Holy Spirit. That's not our tradition's strength. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit much at all. But the good news of today's gospel is all about the Holy Spirit. This is part of what's called the farewell discourse, where Jesus is saying goodbye to his friends and his disciples. He's preparing them for the time when he won't be around anymore to teach them or to help them. And he offers them these words of comfort, telling them that even when he's gone, they won't be alone. He's not abandoning them. In fact, after he's gone, God will send another companion for them who will continue to be with them and to help them and to support them, the Holy Spirit. And not only will the Holy Spirit be a companion with them to give them strength and guidance, but Jesus tells them that the Spirit will actually live within them, will abide in them. And so there's this deeper level of intimacy that's promised here. Jesus brought a new intimacy with God when God the Creator became body, became flesh, and entered into our human experience, living on earth with us. The Holy Spirit now will come and live within us, drawing us into an even closer relationship with God. And all of this, the promise of a companion and a helper, the promise of an intimate and lasting connection to God, all of it is framed in love. The word love is the most frequently repeated word in this passage. We're told that to love Jesus is to keep his commandment. And we know from the rest of the gospel that the greatest commandment Jesus taught is to love our neighbor. So what does it look like to love Jesus? It looks like loving our neighbor. Then, at the end of the text, it flips that around and says, to keep Jesus' commandments, to love our neighbor, is to love Jesus. So to love Jesus is to love our neighbor, and to love our neighbor is to love Jesus. And it just goes round and round, right? And participating in this circle of love, by loving our neighbor and loving Jesus, when we do that, when we participate in that love with acts of love and kindness to one another, we're drawn even deeper into relationship with God, who already loves us. These are the words of comfort and care that Jesus offers. But it's not just feel-good, sunshine and roses stuff. These words are words of support in the midst of real struggle and pain. They're words of encouragement to help bolster and strengthen the disciples for a very difficult road ahead. The disciples are about to experience great loss and grief. And they're going to face huge challenges. Not only that grief, but persecution in a world that responds to them with anger and hatred and violence. There's a meme that I've seen recently that shows a picture of the crucifixion, you know, the three crosses on the hill, and then there's two men in the forefront who are talking. And the first man asks, "What is it that he said that got people so upset?" And the second one answers, "Be kind to one another." And the first guy says, "Oh yeah, that'll do it." Because as wonderfully warm and fuzzy as this message of loving one another might sound, we know that it's not always well received. Look at the crucifixion. And the very act of loving our neighbor, even today, can be very controversial. It can evoke anger and hostility. A while back, when our church posted on Facebook that we stand in solidarity with our trans siblings, we received an angry email from someone claiming that we were a cult and making false accusations against us. Members here who have posted signs in their yard at their own homes denouncing racism have gotten angry and hurtful comments from their neighbors. First United Methodist here in town has been vandalized repeatedly for having pride flags. Living out Jesus' commandments to love our neighbor as ourselves is not always well received. To insist on love in the face of hatred can come with backlash. To stand in solidarity with those who are being persecuted, mistreated, or degraded puts us in the line of fire. And yet, we are promised that we are not alone. The very spirit of God's love lives within us, giving us the strength that we need to stand up and speak out for those whose voices are silenced. The strength we need to offer care and compassion to those who are hurting or in need. The strength we need to see the face of God in each and every person we meet. Even those who are different from us. Even those who are tangled up in fear and hatred. The Spirit of God lives within us, enabling us to live out God's love in the world. And the same Spirit also draws us into community, draws us into the love and support of this circle of love, where we love and care for one another, where we companion alongside one another and encourage one another, where we support one another in the hard work of living in love, so that in all our efforts to love our neighbor, in our efforts to live out God's love, we are not only supported and strengthened by the Holy Spirit, but by one another. And even when it is difficult, even when it is a struggle, we are promised that in loving one another, we are pulled even closer to God. In loving one another, we are drawn even deeper into relationship with God, who loves us unconditionally and who fills us up with God's own Spirit, the Spirit of truth, Spirit of love. Thanks be to God. Amen.